Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Euskaltel's third quarter 2019 results presentation. The management of Euskaltel will run you through the presentation materials that can be found at Euskaltel's website, which will be followed by a question and answer session. You can ask a question by phone by pressing 01 on your telephone keypad. You can also send your questions through the webcast platform at any time during the presentation. I am now pleased to introduce Mr. José Miguel García, CEO of Euskaltel. Please, sir, go ahead.
Good everybody. Good morning or good afternoon, depending where you are, and welcome to Euskaltel third quarter 2019 results conference call. My name is José Miguel García, CEO of Euskaltel. Joining me is Jon Anders de la Fuente, our CFO, and Alfonso Enriquez, our Head of Strategy and Investor Relationships. The third quarter has been a good quarter for the company, with strong profitability and cash generation driven by efficient management initiatives as defined in our strategic roadmap last quarter. The third quarter is a seasonally challenging quarter. We will comment some of these challenges further on in the presentation. Despite these challenges and these effects, the company has managed to grow our fixed customer base and deliver positive trends in revenue. Mass market fixed customer net adds grew in the quarter, mainly driven by good overall sales and churn retention initiatives in September. By the way, this growth was not only in our expansion areas, but also we had good growth in our traditional areas, which, as we see, represent good value for the company. Service take-up has accelerated significantly once again in the quarter, as we did in the last quarter, to 3,000 broadband net adds, just under 4,000 postpaid mobiles, and 1,000 television net adds. Additionally, we increased ARPU to 60.7 euros and maintained our revenue growth trends in the quarter. It's important for me to highlight that profitability in the quarter increased well above revenue, with EBITDA growing close to 3% versus the previous quarter to 87 million euros and reaching an EBITDA margin of 50.7%. This is a result of a very clear focus on efficient cost management, as defined once again in our strategic roadmap early in June. Most importantly, we have managed to convert this increased profitability into high cash generation, with cash flow growing by more than 8% versus the previous quarter, thanks to disciplined CapEx management initiatives. These good results demonstrate that our strategy roadmap is on track and will continue to deliver good results going forward. On the next page, I would like to highlight the main initiatives and where these initiatives and these results will come from. If we look at the mass market area, which by the way accounts for 80% of the group's revenue, in the sales department, we've primarily focused on getting our sales channels mix improved in terms of efficiency, and this is one of the main reasons we have obtained these results, particularly in September. In the marketing area, which is a tremendous initiative, particularly around the price increases implementations in all our territories. We have also eliminated non-profitable football content from our Asturias territory, and we're doing some interesting things, like for example, including some of the OTT applications like Mi Telefútbol into our set-top boxes, which obviously is creating tremendous value for customers. In the B2B area, we continue to focus not only on simplifying and unifying our processes in the three businesses, but more importantly, we begin to get traction, particularly in the SME segments, through some of our key offers to customers. In the technology factory, in operations and IT systems, we've achieved important, very important improvements in areas such as provisioning, customer care, and particularly some of the IT areas as well. The network division has focused tremendously on getting an integrated network footprint for all of our regions, and this is obviously very important, not only for our more short-term efficient needs, but also for some of the future goals that we have, as well as improving our homogeneous broadband speeds across all our territories. The strategic roadmap defined last June is well on track and is already delivering results that increase the profitability of the company. Let me just cover some of the operating results in more detail. On slide six, It's important for me to highlight the significant increase in fiber coverage in this quarter. An example is the 2.4 million households in Catalonia, in the region, which has come about as a consequence of our current wholesale agreements that obviously allow us to be able to expand to areas such in Catalonia and outside of our traditional areas, and obviously provide a tremendous sales opportunity for us. Obviously, we're still expanding our coverage in our expansion pilots, such as Navarra, Rioja, Cantabria, and León, but we're also looking at expanding coverage even in our traditional areas as well. In terms of mass market fixed services customer base, we grew, as we've mentioned, approximately 900 net adds, and this is despite the challenging quarter, as we know. And I mean, I guess the result of some of the effectiveness of our sales, you can see it on the chart, but compared to last year, where we lost 6,000 customers during the same period, it demonstrates the efficiency of some of our initiatives, particularly against a challenging quarter, which we all know. Traditionally, things like the student change of houses, obviously, you know, the football promotion starts or the football start of the season in football, back to school, etc., obviously represent challenges in terms of the quota. And however, for us, it's been a good quota in terms of growth, particularly in September, where we've managed to grow not only in the new expansion areas, but we've also managed, as I said at the outset, to grow in our traditional core areas, which obviously tell us that we're able to grow market share in those traditional areas as well. So if we look at the next page, something that we already reported on the previous quarter, but we are again very pleased to report again, it's the high-value customer base continues to grow with our services. We've grown broadband services, over 3,000 services in the quarter, postpaid mobile services just under 4,000, television services around the 1,000. So obviously, these high-value services in our customer base represent, obviously, growth in the company, particularly with a current rate where we are at 3.67 services per customer. These are the main drivers of ARPU revenue and EBITDA growth in the company. As well, as we've already mentioned at the outset, but the small and medium enterprise and large account customer base continues to grow, and that's despite the fact that we're still doing tremendous efforts in terms of simplifying and unifying these areas across the three businesses. And obviously, despite that effort to unify, we continue to find growth opportunities in these areas, particularly in the SME, where, and in particular our FTTH products have got a good result in terms of our customer base. Now let me pass on to John Ander, who will cover some of the financial reviews of the company in the quarter.
Thank you, Jose Miguel. Good morning and afternoon for everyone. On this slide 11, we show the top-line performance during the quarter. As a result of growth in both the customer base and ARPU in the quarter, mass market revenue grew by 0.2%, thus consolidating the positive change seen last quarter. B2B revenue, which includes SMEs and large accounts, remained flat versus a year ago. We recall that the first quarter 2019 was impacted positively by the recognition of the revenue coming from the agreement signed with the Basque government, which stands for 4 million euros for the full year recognized in the first quarter. All in all, we continue to observe a clear change of trend in the total revenue growth this quarter, and the company is close to achieving positive revenue growth. Going to the next slide, number 12, I would like to explain how the measures that are being implemented continue improving the performance of the company. I would like to highlight especially the reduction of more than 7% in sales, general and administrative expenses quarter on quarter, driven mainly by a better management of marketing costs and by a decrease in personnel costs as a result of the headcount reduction occurred between June and July. All this has translated in significant EBITDA growth of almost 3% quarter on quarter. As a result, the EBITDA margin has reached 50.7% this quarter, an increase of more than 130 basis points versus the previous one. On slide 13, I would like to focus on cash generation in the quarter. Subscriber acquisition cost CapEx reduced to 10% of revenue versus 11% in the previous quarter, as expected in a seasonal quarter where the fixed net adds were slightly positive. Non-subscriber acquisition cost CapEx was dedicated mainly to progressing on the integration process of the three companies, as well as maintaining our network up to date. As a result of the mentioned growth in EBITDA and a disciplined CapEx approach during the quarter, we managed to increase operating cash flow by more than 8% versus the previous quarter to 50 million euros or 27% of sales, a clear reference in the telecom industry. To end the financial review on slide 14, you can see that the cash generated during the first 9 months of the year has enough not only to distribute a dividend of 55 million euros, but also to reduce debt to 4.3 times EBITDA from 4.5 times at the end of the last year. Total shareholder remuneration in the year 2018 represented a dividend yield of approximately 4%. And now I will give back the word to Jose Miguel for him to wrap up the presentation.
Okay, thank you, John Anders. The Board of Directors approved the distribution of an interim dividend of 14 cents euros against the 2019 results to be paid in February 2020 in line with the commitment of the company to maintain sustainable shareholder remuneration policy. The complementary dividend will be communicated upon approval by the AGM in the first half of 2020. On the next slide, summarizing, obviously the integration and efficient initiatives we are carrying out, as defined, as I said previously, in our strategy, will continue to drive positive trends in revenue and EBITDA, as we can see on this slide. And as we continue to improve other KPIs, other operational KPIs, obviously this would lead to further financial improvements in the months to come. As a summary, operational improvements have continued being implemented in the quarter and are delivering strong results. We have managed to grow both the customer base and the revenue in a seasonally challenging quarter. Cost savings have been achieved thanks to efficient management initiatives and is boosting profitability. This improving profitability is leading to improved EBITDA, and disciplined CapEx management have led to high cash generation during the quarter. The net debt has been reduced as a result of all of this. All of the above financial trends allow a positive Q4 2019 outlook, and more importantly, sets our basis for a national expansion planning. We are very, very excited for the future, and my team and I continue to work very hard implementing our roadmap, which is already delivering growth and value generation to our shareholders. So thank you very much for your attention, and we now move on to questions and answers.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. You can also send your questions through the webcast platform. Questions by phone will be answered first. Thank you. The first question comes from Michael Bishop from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Thanks very much. I'd just like to pick up on the verbal guidance that you've given for Q4, where you're talking about a positive return to year-on-year growth. Could you just give us an idea of how much of that is sort of extra volume versus ARPU? And as an extension, specifically on ARPU, when you think that will stabilize or even grow year-on-year, and what are the moving parts there that you foresee? And then secondly, just a question on Spanish competition more broadly. And we heard, at least from MásMóvil this morning, a more positive message going into the fourth quarter. Is that something you're also seeing? And thirdly, it would just be great to get your take on how the nationwide planning is going and whether that's still on track. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Michael. On the Q4, obviously, we are confident because since we started our roadmap initiatives, which obviously initiatives that go as a whole to the company. We're not only executing initiatives that obviously address synergies coming from the integration of the three regional companies, which, as you can expect, there's a lot of value in that. But obviously, at the same time, we are applying, as I mentioned in the presentation, we are implementing very important initiatives, like, for example, reviewing the mix of channels, the sales channels. And in that process, we are finding opportunities by introducing new channels, such as online channels, as well as outbound channels, and even new inbound channels. And at the same time, improving the efficiency of some of our traditional channels, such as shops, as well as Salesforce. So obviously, our confidence comes not only from the Q3 results, but also from the fact that some of these initiatives, which have to do more with the integration process that we're carrying out, give us confidence that we can continue to strive not only cost savings and CapEx savings, but more importantly, operational KPIs such as sales and marketing. So that's where we believe today is the main driver of our improvements in ARPU revenue, as well as EBITDA. This is coming. And as we progress in further coverage expansions, not only new coverage, like the one I mentioned, this 2.4 million new coverage in Catalonia, as well as Navarra, et cetera, but at the same time, where we're beginning to humanize, combine all our footprints into one, we begin to see, small pockets of opportunities, even in our traditional areas. So this is where our confidence is coming from for the Q4. And that's where obviously our main focus is at today, right? And this obviously also prepares us for our national our national expansion, which is as I've mentioned, all the pilots exercises that we're going about, and this Catalonia exercise is a very, very positive initiative, because it allows us to to obviously size and test all the processes we have in board. So this is where, our Q4 confidence is coming from, and we can see a lot of these initiatives delivering further value and further improvements in Q4. So that's where it's coming from. In terms of the competitive environment, as we know, Q3 comes about with a lot of activity, as I mentioned, back to school, football, etc. Obviously, it's a very busy quarter, and obviously in Q4, some of these tendencies tend to I would not say mellow, but rather become more normalized, and again, we obviously see that hopefully that trend becoming the traditional trend that we've observed in previous years. So that's my comment in regards to the Q4 competitive environment. And yes, absolutely, probably more than ever, our national plans are as strong as ever, because as we implement our roadmap, and as we see strong results like the ones we're getting in Q3. All it does is just gives us more confidence and gives us more data and gives us more ability to be able to fine-tune our national expansion planning process. So, that's my answer on your third question. I trust I've answered your questions successfully.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Pedro Oliveira from CaixaBank BPI. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my question. My first question is, there was news on the press mentioning that you didn't present the business plan when you sent to the board.
Pedro, I can't hear your question. I missed your question. Sorry, Pedro. Repeat again.
Sorry. Are you hearing me better?
I was saying
that there was news on the press mentioning that you were going to present a business plan to the board in the coming weeks. And my question is, can you close your new business plan, including the national expansion, without renewing the wholesale agreements with Orange before? My second question is, regarding CapEx, out of the 12% CapEx exact that you reported, how much is dedicated to network expansion? and if you can provide some guidance in terms of CapEx for the fourth quarter, if the fourth quarter last year is a good departing point. And finally, my last question is, it seems that you reported net debt positive in September, back to positive territory. Is this a good proxy of what we could expect for the fourth quarter? Thank you.
Okay, Pedro. Well, firstly, nice to speak to you again, right? So anyway, back into the business plan, Pedro. Obviously, I think there's two questions there. One is that we've got, and it's one of the slides we tried to demonstrate, that our current wholesale agreements allows us to expand, and the proof of that is Catalonia, Navarra, Rioja, and León. So, that's one thing. And independently there, obviously, our current company configuration is a tremendous opportunity for wholesale carriers to actually, engage with us and offer us interesting revenue, creative opportunities for them, which is what we're doing. By the way, not only with all the carriers that have got services. So we engage obviously with all of them, talking about the opportunity of Euskaltel not only as an integrated three main regions of Spain with a tremendous value, as well as a national expansion possibility. This obviously opens tremendous opportunities for us as well as for wholesale operators to engage with us, and that process obviously is an important process. But having said that, and I wanted to make sure that it's clear that we have got wholesale agreements that are allowing us already to expand into Catalonia and other areas. So that's my take on your question, and as you can imagine, that's as far as I can probably go at this stage in terms of how much information I can provide you on this matter. And I think on the CapEx as well as the other question, maybe I'll pass over to John Anders to answer.
Related to the CapEx, in that moment we are not making big investments in network for expansion, because we have the opportunity to use competitive agreements in terms of Bitstream. But giving a figure, in the accumulated figures at the end of September, approximately 25% of the total CapEx is related to improvements in the network. In that sense, there are some quantities not very significant on mutualization or expansion or new fiber deployments. But most of them is maintenance and improvements in our own network.
You had a question on the net debt. Do you want to answer that?
No, on the net, on the first guidance on CapEx for the fourth quarter, as if fourth quarter 2018 was a good indication, and then on net adds in September, which was back to positive, and if this is the proxy for the fourth quarter.
Yeah, the guidance for in terms of net adds of the fourth quarter is positive, clearly, continuing the situation that net adds.
Was it net debt or net adds? The question.
Net adds.
Okay, I can I'll respond to that. On the net adds, as I mentioned, we are confident on the previous question. We are confident, obviously, on the initiatives we've initiated in Q3, which has to do with, sweating the assets on our current footprint, and we're finding interesting growth opportunities there, as I explained previously, just purely from making our channels more efficient, getting one sort of coverage behavior in all our territories, and I think that's we're going to continue to experience that, as well as the expansion. We're in Navarra, we're in Rioja, we're in León, and we're in Catalonia, and obviously that's representing opportunities for us, which we are surely improving on a day-by-day basis.
And related to the CapEx for this fourth quarter, obviously, as you know, the fourth quarter could be the highest quarter in terms of CapEx. And, during the next quarter, we will have a slightly higher figure in terms of CapEx. No, I suppose that there will be between 5 to 7 million higher than the third quarter.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Joshua Nels from Exane. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thank you. Two questions from my side. The first was on B2B, where you were talking around a uplift following price adjustments in the SME segment. I just wanted to understand, have you been putting prices up in B2B for some customers? How's that been taken? And what's the general dynamic of the Spanish B2B space as you see it today versus, say, a year ago? The second question I had was just regarding the recent MassReveal Orange deal where they've signed a kind of hybrid co-investment strategy which improves MassReveal's network economics in about 5 million lines. What percentage of your network and the fiber overlap in your network is affected by that? Just trying to work out where MassReveal could maybe be more price aggressive as a result of this deal going forwards than they have been in the past and how that will affect Euskaltel. Thanks very much.
Okay, in terms of the B2B, where we're finding opportunities as we get into this integration process with the three companies, for us it's obviously very interesting because we have a single view of our customer base, right? And in that sense, we're getting a lot of integration synergies from repricing, not only from repricing, it's not a matter of increasing prices, but actually adapting prices to services, best practices, in terms of one area, another area, including services that we have got available now across the business that maybe we didn't have across the whole business. So a lot of the repricing has to do with just, getting a single portfolio, a common portfolio for all our enterprise, by the way, not only SMEs, but also large accounts, and there is tremendous opportunities for Euskaltel. And we're getting even interesting, getting back to your second part of this question, which is, the opportunity. But we're getting even as today. I mean, let me say something about, in terms of the B2B, the B2B is already a national, business unit. So, we talk a lot about, national expansion. But, the B2B area is actually already, a national business unit operation. We've got a lot of customers, for example, in Madrid, Barcelona, even other parts of Spain, where we're providing, very effective solutions and services. Remember that, B2B services represents, a high percentage of our revenue in the business. So that's where the opportunity is coming from. Again, as I explained previously, more to do with the opportunities we're finding as we synergize some of the integration of coverage and customer base, and they're obviously opportunities. Therefore, I mentioned repricing. Maybe repricing is not the right word, but actually, introducing value propositions into our offers to customers, and that's where we're finding the opportunities as we speak. Obviously, setting a very interesting base for further customer growth going forward, because we do have some very unique products here in the north of Spain, both across our businesses, to do with, for example, with cloud services, to do with some very specialist communication services where we've applied to some of the businesses in the north of Spain, so which, as you traditionally, as you know, are very rich in terms of enterprise activity. So that is the sort of knowledge and know-how that we want to project across other customers, and we're already doing that nationwide. Now, in terms of the deal that other operators and other competitors, I'm not very particularly, like to comment on other companies, other companies' agreements and so on and so forth. So if you don't mind, I will skip that question and not comment on other competitors' agreements.
Yeah, but if the question is how much of the current footprints that could have Orange in our territories could be overlapped with our footprint, could be the answer is between 50 and 60% of our current footprint. It's covered by Orange network.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. The next question comes from Giovanni Moltalti from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you. There's been some discussion in the press about potential disposal of your network in order to finance the national expansion plan. Just wondering if you can give us some color on this. Thank you.
As I think there's been a lot of noise on that, obviously, our process is a roadmap where we are focused on getting maximum synergies and getting as quick as possible a end-to-end process across all our traditional territories, and at the same time getting into a planning process to launch a national expansion, and obviously the company remains all the possible options available to it in terms of what we could do in the future. But at the moment, our focus is primarily on implementing the roadmap and implementing what's on the roadmap, which is integrating the three businesses and planning a national expansion project. So that's what we mainly focus at the moment.
So if I understand well, this is not something we should take as the central case, and this is not the main source of funding for your national plan.
We know we believe that we'll have, and as we implement our roadmap. By the way, the good thing is, and you can see the results on Q3, right? The good thing about that is that obviously the spectrum and the options available to a company increase, and I think that's the good news about what you're asking. We've got ample options to be able to execute our strategies, and that I think is the good news.
Yeah, but Giovanni, we are currently working on different or further financial initiatives, which will take into account the current business, the current assets, and the national expansion, all in the same picture. In that sense, is something natural that a company like Euskaltel could be analyzing, which are the main way to improve our financing facilities. No? This is the only way or the only sense that could be considered on that.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, in order to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. The next question comes from Sumit Datta from New Street Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, yeah, a couple of questions, please. One, you've been marketing to around 600,000 wholesale lines for a couple of quarters now. I just wondered how that was going and how, if there are any differences in the way you kind of try and attract customers in those regions, how they differ from existing regions. Secondly, could you talk about the economics to the extent you can and the differences between the wholesale regions and where you have your existing footprint, so where you're adding customers in those new coverage areas, what is the incremental return coming from those customers? Any steer there would be very helpful. And then a final question, please, just on pricing. Always a little difficult to get to kind of Spanish pricing just from looking at websites, but when I do that process, your pricing on converged products looks to be the most aggressive in the market. Again, it's hard to know exactly if pricing from competitors is matching that in region and what's below the line, et cetera. But it looks like you're the most aggressive in the market. Is that the case, and is that the strategy when you're thinking about pricing? Thank you.
Okay, in terms of channels, obviously, you know, in our territories, we have a very strong presence with basically all the channels available, you know, starting from shops, which obviously have been there for a number of years, and where we've got very strong presence, particularly closeness to our customer base, and where we service not only sales but also service uptake as well as customer care. And so obviously that's one of our main in areas, and as well as we have, you know, we've got a task force that obviously, again, have been traditionally working, and you know, we have been introducing not only in the traditional areas but as well as in the new areas, but new ways or new channels, particularly along the outbound channels, the telemarketing and outbound, as well as, you know, a wide variety of online channels, as well as also putting a lot more emphasis on our inbound sort of promotion campaign. So you know, we've grown on a wider range of channels, which obviously gives us a wide variety to be able to tackle some of these new areas that you've mentioned, and where those areas obviously are primarily driven by more the you know, the more online, more outbound, and more the inbound channels as opposed to the more traditional channels. And we do obviously have below the line initiatives as well. So we, you know, in all areas, including the traditional areas, we try to exploit the most efficient, effective channels in accordance to the opportunities, to the coverage opportunities that we have on a per area basis. In terms of the economics, obviously, and maybe I'll pass on to John Ander, but just as a general rule, obviously, you know, in our traditional area where we have infrastructure, you know, still the driver of most of our revenue and profitability drives because of infrastructure, but we are getting very positive, you know, economics out of our new areas, which obviously make the business case, you know, very attractive. And maybe you
can comment. No, it's true. Obviously, the final profitability is different. Will be a difference between 15% and 20% in terms of margin. But it's true that we have been building contracts and relationships to use the different wholesale infrastructure that give us the opportunity to take decisions related not only to the profitability of the final customer, at the same time linked to the penetration rates that we could have in some regions. In that sense, we have different ways to decide in each moment which type of access will be the most interesting for us. Obviously, in this previous process, when we are launching new territories, new areas where we never have been commercializing before, we are very comfortable getting very controlled CapEx and investment in those areas, and we prefer to reduce a little bit our profitability on that using a bitstream access. In that sense, it's clear that we consider that this difference approximately of 15% on profitability, which one access and the other could be sustainable and very interesting for us. No? But it's something that we manage constantly, and we decide depending the commercial success that we are having in each territory.
Yes, as John mentioned, obviously return on investment is what drives our business cases for all our expansions, and will continue to do so in the future. In terms of pricing that you mentioned, we believe we have got at the end of the day, convergence. There's many convergence offers in the market, and you're right when you say that when you look at the websites of the different companies, it's very difficult to understand, the true value of each convergent offer, because they do vary tremendously. Now we provide what we consider is one of the best value propositions in the market by far, and the fact that we provide good value allows us to have, you know, the sort of ARPUs that we've indicated on the presentation. So I think you're right, but, you know, customers do value, you know, do buy value, and our customer base are generally a more value-oriented customer as opposed to, you know, is value, customers that actually look for value in the offers, and Euskaltel does provide, you know, very good value ratios or very good value propositions compared to our competitors. Hence, our ability, as I said at the presentation, to actually grow market share in our traditional territories, and which is what's happened or what's what we've seen happening, particularly in the third quarter. So, in that sense, you know, we believe that our pricing. You know, our pricing is very much aligned with our value proposition to customers, which is obviously competitive, as we've seen, you know, market share growth in our traditional areas.
Okay, that's really clear. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, in order to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions in the conference call. I give back the floor to the company for the webcast questions. Thank you.
Okay, well, thank you very much for your attention. I hope we did answer all the questions that you have. By all means, feel free to contact us. Alfonso and his team always, you know, ready, and we also, Jonander and myself, ready to answer any questions. We look forward to seeing you soon, and also look forward to our next call at the end of Q4. So thank you very much, and have a good day.